Namai bagyo kahit namai ulos kahit may libo-libong kaaway. Kahit na magapiyang isang matira sa ating dakilang hanay, tayong manggagawa at magsasaka. Sang bayanan ay muling babangon, ipagtatagumpay ang bawat labanan sa buong daigdig.
And this is Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Mimi Rosenberg with Ken Nash. And in the background, you are listening to the Song of Hope by the KMU Singers from the Philippines.
On February 24th, Philippine President Gloria Arroyo placed the Philippines under a state of national emergency. Arroyo's government has filed cases of rebellion against 51 individuals, including legitimate congressional representatives and offices of people's organizations. Public assembly and press freedom are restricted. Civil liberties are curtailed. Suppression of people's rights, repression, and political persecution are indeed the mainstays of Arroyo's regime. Building Bridges recently talked with two leaders of Filipino women's organizations. Emmy de Jesus is Secretary General of Gabriela, the Philippines' largest and only multi-sectoral women's organization in the country. And Amiri Ali Lidasan, spokesperson for Surabang Samora, a unique all-Muslim Filipino political party, and for Bang Samora Women's, which is comprised of Muslim women of the Philippines. They described the precarious state of Arroyo's claim of stabilizing the nation in the period leading up to the state of emergency. Arroyo's own government breeds instability, with its subservience to U.S. interests and the International Monetary Fund World Bank, and with her desperate attempts to hold on to power after evidence of election fraud and despite popular outcry for her resignation. These are the true causes of national instability in the Philippines. And now, Emmy de Jesus and Amiri Ali Lidasan.
Let me ask you, I mean, Marcos is gone, Estrada is gone, mm-hmm. So everything is all right in the Philippines now, right? There's no brutal suppression, the economic rights are all right, women's rights are all right, things are going well now, right?
No.
Oh, you're devil's advocate, you.
Who's the devil, though?
The problem is not only ousting a leader. After five presidents, that just proves that it's more of the system rather than the leaders, no, who hold the power. But, of course, the presidency has a lot to do because he or she, having the highest political power, thus implements all national policies. Situation has gotten worse, especially when it comes to the economic situation of the majority of the people. The politicians who hold the rule of law in our land have a lot of accountability to the people because they do implement policies, which majority are anti-people. These policies do not serve the interest of the majority, but rather the interest of a few businessmen, a few foreign companies, I'd say in human management of our country, because why choose serving the few and the foreigners when in fact hunger, civil rights are what the people need, no? Democratic space are what the people need. In fact, this is also the reason why people's movement keeps on growing despite repression by Gloria Macapagal Arroyo. Now, the reaction of the people's organizations is more to accept the challenge, no, to continue the fight.
We are changing presidents, but they do not change policies, no? Just like what happened in during after the Marcos and Estrada administration. We haven't changed the policies. As a matter of fact, they are having a much worse policy now, no? Because after Estrada administration, they have laid down all the economic and political policies, no? So President Arroyo is just continuing this, Mrs. Arroyo, because Emmy doesn't want to recognize her as the president for her cheating during election, no? So Mrs. Arroyo's presidency or administration just continued what was the economic policies. And just, for example, one economic policy is opening the whole country to foreign companies who are after after our mining areas. So 2005, she called for a revitalized mining economy wherein all areas that they see have a potential mining for non-minerals and non-minerals, they have to open that up. And that means more and thousands of people dislocated in areas belonging to the mountains. And most of those areas are the only ones left for Moro people and other indigenous peoples in the Philippines. So during wartime in the 70s, during martial law, from the plain lands, because of the war, we were relegated to other areas. And now, in the Revitalized Mining Act, we are again displaced. For whom? No, for foreign mining companies who pocket everything that they get from our areas. No?
Well, let me ask you this. It seemed that the Philippines were very close after the election scandals and allegations about miscounted votes and so on, that Gloria Arroyo was going to be ousted. What happened?
There is some fragmentation in the ruling class, meaning that there are still some from the ruling elite. Now, those who are really beneficiaries of her administration, who get the business sector, some of them still support and still give resources to prop up Arroyo's administration. After the electoral fraud expose and after testimonies and even people from her administration coming out and asking for her resignation, and former Vice President Gingona and some of her cabinet members, the support is still there, no, coming from those who are really benefiting from the power that she has.
Help us understand the reality and significance, if there is a real significance, to Abu Sayyaf and the repression or constriction of civil liberties that clearly is going on in the Philippines under the justification in some ways of the war against terror.
President Arroyo, or Mrs. Arroyo, is using this war on terror and the U.S. connection, President Bush connection with her and support to her administration is one of the things that keeps her in power. When she frightens the people that if I am ousted, then who will protect you from these Abu Sayyaf monsters, these terrorists, this Al-Qaeda? It's this hysteria of Muslim terrorists in the south, in Mindanao, that are the reasons why our economy is bad and the reasons why we have a political problem and we have a political situation. Every time there is a big issue in the Philippines, like killing of some activists, like the rising cost of basic commodities, like the problem of ousting a president, always the Abu Sayyaf comes out in the newspaper and says that there are kidnapped victims, no? And then in the end, we will learn that even President Estrada was included in the issue of, not in the kidnapping, but in the issue of getting the money to give to the kidnappers, even President Estrada was involved in that. So we see this whole machinery of the state involved in how the Abu Sayyaf could be or survived, no? And until now. Because it's so illogical that every time they would say, we will crush the Abu Sayyaf, that's the reason why the U.S. troops have to be there in Basilan, have to be there in their hideouts in Sulu, have to do military training exercises in Maguindanao, in all our areas in Mindanao. And it's been how many years already they have not suppressed the Abu Sayyaf. But every time there is a need for the U.S. soldiers to go to our area, they will use that hysteria. And it's also a bad thing for us. It's because it gives us that social tag, no?
Stigma.
That every time we go out and we wear the hijab, or every time that some of us will look like Bin Laden, we're all Abu Sayyaf, or we're all supporters. And what happened was it gives the government the leverage, no? To use, to make us as a sampler of how she can use her power as either state of emergency, she called it state of lawlessness. Like she can employ all the human rights violations against the Moro people. Like she can call for a warrantless arrest. She can call for a raid in a community of Muslims. She can order all the military to do a crackdown. And several years later, we would see that most of the people that they have, like, for example, 500 people, Muslim people arrested just because they look like Bin Laden, it justifies her anti-people policies. And then some of our military are saying, if we can do it here with the Muslim people, we can do it in other side, like these communist supporters, no? And so it's giving her that kind of leverage. That's the reason why they kill now with impunity. They kill activists. They would kill Christian activists in the north, but they will use as justification the hysteria of the Muslim terrorists. How is it possible that you kill people here and what you use as a justification is frightening the people of the Muslim quote-unquote hysteria? So it's like making us fight each other, but actually we are all victims in this, Muslims, Christians, activists and just simple people there in Mindanao. We were all victims. Like we are just waiting for another government policy that would say everyone has no right to speak. And that's what happened when every one of us tried to do a protest rally. For union leaders, you are killed. For human rights defenders, you are being killed. For those journalists, you are also silenced. No, so no one is spared.
So, I mean, let me get this clear. The civil rights, civil liberties, the assassinations are getting worse right now as we speak?
Yeah, yes, it is. And in fact, before we left, we already have this more than 100, no? Since 2001, since Arroyo's taking the position, no? 201 just from the Progressive Party list members. These are just the organized or leaders. Most of those who were killed were leaders from the provinces. Categorically, we can say that it's really worse, the curtailment of civil liberties. Even rallies, no? Protest actions, they declared that you cannot hold a rally in Menjola, which was even during Marcos's time, we were allowed, no, to hold our protests there. But now they invented the CPR, calculated preemptive response, which we really do not know what animal is that, but they use that to
but
say.
But it is one.
Because we kept on asking, is that a law, is that executive order or whatever, but they keep on saying that this is a presidential decree saying that peaceful assemblies. I mean, you have to really assert your right holding protest actions. And in fact, since October 4, immediately after that promulgation of that CPR, the movement of concerned citizens for civil liberties held this rally protesting the CPR and saying never again to martial law. And that was the start of, what do you call this, violent dispersals in rallies. So we had the October 4 arrests and violent dispersal, October 6. Not that this is new, because even before, no, they already employed police dispersal units, no, with their truncheons and all the. Coming from an activist point of view, I think what is positive is that people's movement keep on asserting its right. I mean, the women's movement, the youth sector, the peasant movement, rallies became even bigger, no? After that policy, the say that we can't hold rallies. And the very immediate thing is to oust Mrs. Arroyo from her office.
Well, let me ask you, one of the things we haven't specifically spoken that much about, sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. I know there was the exportation mm-hmm. of tens upon tens of thousands of yeah. women as domestics. There was November 1st, a rape by six U.S. Yeah. soldiers in Subic Bay, I believe, mm-hmm. and clearly the issue of military prostitution and violent sexual molestation mm-hmm. as a way of intimidating women's dissent. If you could address some of the specifics relevant to what has been happening with women.
Violence against women is worsened by the economic and political situations we have. Women are more vulnerable to be victims of economic violence. Women dying of malnutrition, women and their children not getting 3 meals a day. Women as basic going to the doctor to have a prenatal exam. That kind of violence which is happening because of the policies of the government. Budget is very small when it comes to social services. And when it comes to specific gender violence, even at the National Office of Gabriela, where we were forced to have a service center to address the common woman, the unorganized one, because publicly they know that Gabriela fights for women's rights and welfare. And the specific gender violence, for example, domestic violence, rape, and sexual harassment, those kinds of violence. We also see that the worsening economic situation is big factor, no? Why this is so? For example, of course, the patriarchal attitude, no? Or the patriarchal culture that we have is a given situation. But if you have this woman going to Gabriela asking for help, that she really wants to get out of this abusive situation because she is battered, etc., etc., then we say to empower, how do you think you can resolve this? And she says, I really want to get out of the situation. And then we say, of course, that is a good decision, etc. And then when it comes to, but how can I survive? I don't have job. I don't have a house. I don't have this. It boils down to how can it be possible for women to get out of an abusive situation when there is no support system, no? Especially coming from the government to address this. Because patriarchal relationship is already a given, no? And I think this patriarchal attitude towards women, in fact, is being used by the whole system, commodified and can be sold, for example. So this, if we connect this to the labor export policy of the government, which it encourages, but without the government's mechanism to ensure that women, at the very least, no protection of women who go out of the country to look for jobs, which are, you know, very now constricted to just a few, and with this patriarchal attitude that women should just stay at home. You know, these things are really interconnected. You can say that violence against women really is, logically, it will really worsen because of this whole interrelated economic, political, and social situation.
And what about, how does the country, does it not mobilize, for example, despite what you say, relevant to the rape, for example, of a Filipino woman mm-hmm. by U.S. soldiers there? Is that not a fulcrum for people, regardless, coming together in order and protest and anger?
Well, definitely, it did, no? Because immediately after...
Aside from Gloria Arroyo, who supported the United States.
Yeah.
And they're still not turned over to the Filipino authorities, right?
Pardon?
The soldiers, they're in U.S. custody, not Filipino custody.
Under the U.S. Embassy's custody. And I think until now, there is, and in fact, it's still growing, no? I think the ouster campaign with this recent case against the six servicemen really galvanized more, no? The many people. Because they can see the relationship, how Mrs. Arroyo's policy of supporting the visiting forces agreement made the situation worse, gives opportunity for these things to happen. And at stake here is the situation of women.
No U.S. soldier who has violated our women or our communities have ever been imprisoned in Philippine shores. In this news, I've read in the local news in the Philippines through the internet that they said that one of the charges in the affairs in the U.S. Embassy said that there is no provision in the VFA that gives
the VFA?
The Visiting Forces Agreement.
Sorry.
That would make the U.S. government hand over their U.S. soldiers to the Philippine government. So it creates another issue for most of us to really question the visiting forces agreement that the past administrations have signed. Because they keep on saying that this visiting forces agreement, it's an executive agreement that you have everyone. It's only a, the word visiting is so, how do you call that? Sort of like pats us in the back. Don't worry, the American soldiers are just visiting here. But we were going to, we're going to use all your ports. And we see this
protecting
nice...
Protecting you.
Yeah. Yes, this, we see this nice port in the Southern Sea, in our area, like in Mindanao, because it has a deep sea. The Kitty Hawk can enter there. So it's like all these kinds of justification. They own all our ports, airports, seaports. They can visit all our areas. They can shoot with impunity because it can be justified in San Abusayaf. And of course... they can be entertained by any women, and they can force themselves on these women. This is a test for President Arroyo and for the VFA. That's the reason why VFA is in question now. If the Philippine government toes the line of the U.S. government saying that there is no provision in the VFA, then we are correct in saying that it should be scrapped, no? And second is, if they will keep on saying, how can anyone justify raping women? No, and not be responsible for it. It's a gang rape, no? It's a sick soldier raping a woman who is, let us just clarify, she is not a prostitute, no. She was a visitor in that area, and she went to a bar, no? So even all these things that they have to use to justify why that woman should be raped, I mean, we cannot accept it. No one
was a prostitute... there is really no justification for her being raped.
What do you ask of us to do to support you, our two sisters, in the Philippines for all the things that you do? What can we do?
For Gabriela, my organization, and most of the progressive organizations in the Philippines, our major strategy is education and public information towards mobilizing what is the real score between Gloria Macapagal Arroyo and the U.S. government, and between Gloria Macapagal Arroyo and Filipino people, no? That poverty, hunger are rampant, and people suffer from this. And when people move forward and organize themselves, the curtailment of civil liberties is the answer of the government. And of course, deception and all the trimmings. So I think this is very important for us. Secondly, to propagate towards more concrete support, maybe produce materials coming from the Philippines that are exposés of the situation and calling for actions. And of course, helping us organizing our Filipino women and men who are in the United States, no? I mean, it will be a big help for us.
What we don't have in the Philippines, the opportunity to present our talents, our knowledge, and people who are very knowledgeable about this technology and sciences are here in your country, accommodated here because they don't have any opportunities and place in our country. For simple people like us, if we want to live, you have to go to other places. Be a migrant worker. Wash other people's bodies, no? Care for other people's needs. But the children are left behind, no, in our countries. So it's this kind of opportunities that we don't have. And we want to have that in the Philippines. But the problem is we have to first take the first hurdle. Face the monster that we have in the Philippines. Like, the governments who run everything, who creates these policies, who takes away these kinds of opportunities, who forces our mothers and fathers to go to other countries to find jobs, to give the government the dollar that our country needs, and in the end, suppressing us of our simple, basic needs. And whenever we shout, they say, it's terrorism. In Mindanao, we are fighting for our land because every day, whenever there's a Del Monte plantation of pineapple that they are going to set up in a community near ours, we have to be displaced. And the bananas that you eat, you have to be served here in the U.S., fresh bananas coming from the Philippines. Again, a plantation for that means another family, another whole tribe, like my tribe, to be displaced. And it hurts us that we have to fight for our land and for our place to live, and they call that terrorism. What we want is for people like you here in the U.S., to help us explain that to their fellow people so that you will not support Bush in his war on terror. Because every military aid that Bush gives to President Arroyo, it means lives lost in the Philippines. It means tanks. It means helicopters. It means gunships. It means soldiers killing our people with impunity. Now, every vote casted for Bush is his terrorism spreading all over our areas now. And every support given by Bush to President Arroyo gives her that power to kill as many activists as possible. And we want that to be stopped. What we are asking is for people to understand us that we are surviving as you are surviving here. As the people who have been victims of the U.S. Patriot Act, who have been victims of the warrantless arrest, whose families are there in Guantanamo Bay, we also have these kinds of issues in the Philippines. Look at us in the perspective that we Filipino people, Muslims, Christians, women, children, are also people like you here who wants to have a good life. But we cannot have because we are still like living in the colonial times. You are still a bandage of the American government. We are still have a government or a president who, when Bush says, "Are you with us?" who openly says, "Yes, I am with you." And with that, if you want our place to be your training ground, to be your dumping ground, we are open, arms and legs, and we will embrace you. But not everyone in the Philippines is as open as that. Especially when it comes to lives being lost, families being arrested, no, and women and children losing their families. So we are not everyone there becomes a victim whenever our president says yes, yes to Bush. What we want is for that bandage to stop. And what we want is for this bigger monster that's been holding our president as a small monster puppet or supporting our president to stop. So it's also that kind of solidarity that we want. We hope that by supporting us, as Emmy had said, through solidarity, through financial and material means, be enlightened and make that crucial decision in the next election not to support a dictator like Bush.
Your message speaks loud and vibrantly to us, and we are very appreciative of your being with us and very humbled by your communication to ourselves and to our listeners. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Emmy de Jesus, Secretary General of Gabriela, and Amiri Ali Lidasan, spokesperson for Sorabang Samora, on War and Resistance Through Women's Eyes, the Philippine Experience. And this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nair.